for you, but thanks for doing such a great job. And good morning, everyone, and it's lovely to be amongst God's people, and even though it's over the phone, but it's good to be with you. Well, that particular parable we're going to look at, in a sense anyway, but before we do that, can we commit the time to the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the living word. We thank you, Lord, that we can go to it at any time and you speak to us. But Lord, we pray that you may open our hearts to hear what you would have us know today. We pray, Lord, that the word may go out. The speaker may be hidden, but the word may go out. And we pray this in the worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And before we start, I'm going to have a cough. Excuse me. As I said, this particular parable, the parable of the soil, I just wonder how many times we've heard it, how many times we've read it, how many messages on this particular scripture that we've heard. But I suppose, as I've said, scripture is a living word. So there's always news for us, and we look into it. And it's like God's love, isn't it? It's new every morning. So we thank the Lord for that. I was looking at what prompted me. I was reading this particular scripture a while back, and it started to speak to me in many different ways. But before we get to that, I wonder how many people have heard that little example of of Moses' life. It was divided, they say, into three 40-year periods. The first 40 years, Moses believed he was and knew everything. The second 40 years, he realized he was and knew nothing. And the third 40 years, he realized that God was everything. And I sort of can look at that little story and think, my 41st 40 years, I felt I knew it all and wasn't well until, well into the second 40 years that God showed me that I knew nothing. And I doubt very much whether he's going to keep me around for another 40 years. So I think he's trying to jam everything in these second 40 years. So keeping this in mind, the question is, what has God been teaching me? Teaching me about this scripture, the parable of the soils. To begin with, I felt an opportune that I should refresh my understanding about the term parable. What does it mean? Look into what the actual word parable means. The Bible dictionary has pages and pages describing parables. However, it simply means it was a form of teaching, mainly in Judaism. It's a long metaphor or simile, often cast in the form of a story. So it's pretty simple, that's what it was. But at and before this period of time in the Lord's ministry, Jesus has used many parables in his teaching, such as Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the earth," in which the meaning was fairly clear, even for his followers and the multitude following along. It was pretty clear, the meaning of it. However, this parable on the soils required more explanation. The 12 apostles also wanted to know why Jesus spoke in parables. And he explained to them the reason for what appeared obscure teaching to them was in fact to hide the truth from unbelievers while making it clear to the apostles. It's interesting that for the remainder of the Lord's ministry to the Galileans, Jesus did not speak to the multitude except in parables. The question is, why did he do this? Matthew 13:34-34 tells us, where it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And I thought to myself, well, what exactly does this mean? One Bible commentator I read believes that Jesus veiled the truth from unbelievers. This was being both an act of judgment and an act of mercy. It seems to be a contradiction, but an act of judgment because it kept from them, the unbelievers, in the darkness that they loved. So for the unbelievers, it kept them in the darkness that they loved. But it was also mercy because they had already rejected the light. So any exposure to more truth would only increase their condemnation. John 3, verse 19 sums it up. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been in God. So with this little bit of background on parables, it prompted me to have a fresh look at this parable of the soils. Well, this parable itself doesn't appear to be too veiled in any way. It's quite lengthy. And while the 12 apostles asked the Lord to explain it, which he did, he went to great lengths, and it appears to have been received and understood. I find the study of God's word, the more you consider a particular text, or in this case a parable, and other parts of the Bible, and its teaching comes to mind. It's not my intention to go deeply into our parable this morning, but to consider areas that appear not to be included. That's not to say Jesus forgot them, because I found that these matters are covered in other scriptures, and to try and bring these teachings to life. And this can be an exciting thing, finding the Word of God and how it reveals things. But for me to follow my line of teaching, I need to take you off track a little, and I know that's dangerous, and ask for your patience, and hopefully you'll see what I discovered. In our little church, we only get to know very little about each other, really, because most of us live a distance apart, and we don't get to know a lot about the background of our lives. You know, if I was to ask Brother Dava about his work life, what was it? What did he do? And I believe I only know a slight bit about it. And it's to do with, I would sum it up, medical imagery. And Brother Alan Vosti, before he retired, he was involved in aviation industry. And I actually tried to get a handle on Brother Raj's background the other day, that he was involved in food science or teaching. Now, I could be incorrect in all this, and I apologize if I'm wrong, but it just caused me to consider it. I know there's other people in the church with impressive vocations. You've got James and Steve and Abraham, Suman, Elizabeth. But it may prompted me to think, what would people, if the people, same people asked me, Brother Ray, how could you sum up your life before you retired? I gave it some thought, how best to sum up my work life. The best I could do is, it was involved all the time, involved in birth. That's rather a strange thing. But all my life, from even before I left school, my life, work life, has been involved with dirt, or to put it a bit more politely, soil. It's always been, soil has been involved in it. So you can see why I have more than a passing interest in this parable called the Parable of the Soils. My interest in soil was instigated by my father when I was quite young. See, my dad had a veggie garden down the yard. It wasn't a very attractive garden. It produced pretty good produce. However, what this garden did have was great soil. Dad had done a lot of work improving the soil, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was a joy to get deep, to dig the soil. My dad had a saying that he reckons it was good enough to grow babies. About that. My interest continued when I left school and I went to work with Dad on a farm. It wasn't our farm. But for years I worked there, Dad called the shots. He was the one who delegated the day-to-day tasks, one of which was ploughing the paddocks in the fields to grow crops, oats and wheat. And at this time of my life, I was a regular churchgoer, but with only a little interest or understanding of God's word. And I certainly never associated my farm work with the Bible in any way. At the beginning of my second 40 years, remember that, the word of God took on a whole new meaning, as did my outlook on work and even the cultivation of soil. I want to explain that. So I'm going to give you a little bit of education on farming. Ploughing usually began at the end of summer, which meant the soil was baked hard by the summer sun. And taking the plough into a dry, virgin paddock to start ploughing it over, turning it over, you just couldn't imagine how this could happen, how you could do it, let alone break it down so a seed could be planted. Does it remind us, reminds me anyway, seemed impossible at breaking down the barriers of an unbelieving heart. Now that we have come to know the Lord and we try and share the word, we realize how hard it is for some people to accept the truth. Their hearts have hardened to the Bible, and it seems an impossible task. So what seemed an impossible task when I took the plough into the paddock, this paddock, how on earth am I going to get it down to a seedbed? But the Bible has many examples of this problem. The Old Testament tells us of a prophet who faced these problems, the same problems I had in breaking soil down, the same problem you have trying to witness to a family friend or a stranger. Strangely, the solution was something similar. With the prophet Isaiah, for years he tried to warn God's people of their contempt. Remember, many of the verses, many of the chapters in Isaiah starts with woe, woe is to you, woe is. And he had this problem because they had contempt for the one true God. And he was faced with the hardness of their hearts. It's interesting to read how he considered handling this problem. Isaiah 28 says, give ear and heed my voice. Does the ploughman plough all day as he opens and breaks road and someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid my men farewell, who will come and set my home. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So after plowing and harrowing and breaking down the plow, trod the soil in the field, the field is ready to receive the seed. Comes, as verse 23 says, but he who receives on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Well, after all the trials and details in our parable of the soil, what it is, then it is harvest time. Lord, just to enjoy that. Have a look at the crop, like the waving grains, gently blowing in the breeze. See the seed head, and that reminds us of what Jesus said to the people after he encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. And she went off and brought the townsfolk, come and see this man who told her all that she had done. She said, could this be the Christ? Jesus pointed out, Samaritan woman and the folk, townsfolk who were at that moment coming upon the scene, they looked like the light of hearts of urgently needed death or evangelism. Verse 35 says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are ready white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Interesting is how to know the time to reap the harvest. There are set times, seem to be when I was young, it always seemed to fall on Christmas, around Christmas Day. Dad would keep his eye on the grain, gather some in his hand and rub it, boil away the chaff and squeeze the grain to test its firmness and lightness. In the end, it's the master who gives the time of turning the hardest heart into life, new life. For those who have received new life in Christ, we need to keep our eyes on the market, God's will. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you continue to teach us, give us courage to go out and sow the seed. We pray, Lord, for those around us who appear to have hardened hearts, gently soften their heart, and turn them to Christ. Thank you, Paul, for listening. I'll hand it back to Raj.
Thank you, Brother Day. Thank you for the wonderful message. So we will have a song now, which is sung by James, that is, Therefore the Redeemed of the Lord. Therefore the Redeemed of the Lord. And after that, we'll have prayer and benediction. And I would request Brother Deva to finish off the service with a prayer and benediction. Brother Deva, and then first we'll have this song. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Mailing. And thank you, James.
Therefore, the redeemed. The Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain